Chapter 12. The rubble and body-strewn slopes of the breach were thick with fire and fury. The curtain of smoke twitched with the passage of bullets, and Zahariel heard the awful sound of their impacts on the night steel plates. The air was filled with buzzing and whining as projectiles whizzed past him. Zahariel's tutors had schooled him on the different sounds bullets made as they passed and how to tell how close they were. But in the roaring hell of fire, smoke, and noise in the breach, he couldn't recall any of those lessons. He scrambled over heaps of twisted rubble, broken slabs of masonry brought down by the explosions that had blasted the walls, and piles of loose spoil that had been used as infill. Here and there he saw the mangled body of one of his enemies, knights in shattered armour, who lay broken and dead. A shot ricocheted from his shoulder guard, sending him lurching off balance, but he quickly recovered from the impact and pushed on. Nemiel was beside him, scrambling up the slope of the breach with frantic energy, desperate to be the first to the top. Geysers of dirt were punched upwards by bullets, and coiling spirals flitted through the air as hails of missiles soared from above. Zahariel could see nothing of their enemies beyond smudged silhouettes and flaring muzzle flashes. Scores of knights were dead, but many more were still alive, wading through the weight of fire and climbing the steep slope of rock and debris to get to grips with the knights of Lupus. The fear of death in this hellish ruin was great, but so too was the fear that his first battle as a knight of the Order might also be his last. He had endured so much and fought so hard to reach this point that he did not want this inglorious smoke-filled valley of rubble to be the site of his first and final charge. Zahariel pushed on, the climb awkward due to his sword, but he was loath to climb to the top of the slope and meet an enemy without a blade in his hand. The ground shifted under his feet, and he scrambled for purchase as he heard a hard thunk above him, as of timber on stone. He looked up, seeing the shadow of something bouncing down through the smoke. Its sound was heavy and wooden, and he instantly knew what it was. "Get down!" he yelled. "Everyone, get down! A mine!"
"No!"
cried another voice, a more persuasive one.
"Keep going!"
Zahariel turned to see Sar Luther standing in the centre of the breach, bullets and flames whipping around him as though afraid to touch him. Sar Luther's arm was extended, and Zahariel saw that he held his pistol aimed up into the smoke. Luther's pistol barked, and the barrel of explosives vanished in a blinding white sheet of fire and noise high above them. The noise was incredible, and a cascade of shattered rocks tumbled down upon the knights of the Order. Sar Luther looked down on Zahariel.
"Everyone get moving! Up! Now!"
Zahariel leapt to his feet, as though the words were hardwired to his nervous system, and began climbing into the fire as though a pack of Calibanite lions were hot on his heels. The rest of his sword line and a dozen others followed suit, the power of Luther's words driving them onwards. He saw Nemiel up ahead and pushed himself harder, not caring about the danger or the fear. The storm of shells from above intensified, and he felt a number of stinging impacts on his armour, but none serious enough to stop him. Zahariel glanced behind him to see how many of the knights still climbed. The red edges of the banner of the Order were frayed and scorched, its fabric ripped with tattered bullet holes, but the banner still flew, and the warriors around it climbed on in the face of almost certain death and pain, thanks to its presence. Zahariel took pride in watching the banner fly above the noble knights of the Order and returned his attention to the climb ahead of him. He pushed on, following Sar Luther as he forged upwards, passing every other warrior with unimaginable courage and speed. Luther's steps seemed to flow over the rubble, his every footfall helped, his every step as sure as though he walked on a parade ground and not some terrifyingly dangerous breach. The knights around Luther followed his shining example, and followed him. Zahariel went after him into the smoke, and felt the slope beneath his feet growing less steep as he climbed. Shapes resolved from the smoke, and he heard a blood-curdling war cry as the knights of Lupus charged with a distinctive battle howl upon their lips. Fearsome warriors, clad in wolf pelts and bedecked with fangs, the knights of Lupus may not have been numerous, but each one of them was a great warrior, a fighter trained in the ways of combat and the pursuit of knowledge. Zahariel ducked a swinging axe blade and thrust with his sword, the blade punching through his attacker's armour as if through wetted parchment. The man screamed foully and crumpled, blood jetting from his midriff. He wrenched the sword clear and drew the pistol he'd been given by Brother Amadis. All around him was chaos. Knights of the Order and the Knights of Lupus caught up in a swirling melee of hacking, roaring chain blades, and booming pistols. Zahariel shot and cut and hacked his way through the midst of the hardest fighting, pushing through the screaming throng to reach Sar Luther. Nemiel bludgeoned his way through the fighting, using brute force and adrenaline to defeat his foes, rather than finesse. Even as the Knights of the Order began to overwhelm the defenders of the breach, Zahariel wondered how the other assaults were faring. Had the Lion already carried the North Wall? Could the siege towers already have overwhelmed the defenders of the East Wall? Or might the troops with grappling hooks and ladders be over the West Wall even now? With the Lion's meticulous planning, anything was possible. The battle might already be won. A sword crashed against his breastplate, the roaring teeth biting deep into the metal before sliding clear and ripping upwards into the front of his helm. Zahariel jerked backwards, the teeth of the sword ripping out of the front of his helmet without taking his face with them. Horrified at his lack of focus, Zahariel swung his sword desperately before him, buying precious seconds to pull his helm from his head and regain his bearings. A knight in grey plate armour, whose face was obscured by a silver helmet worked in the shape of a snarling wolf, danced back from his blows. Zahariel shook his head clear of the shock of the blow as his opponent came at him again. The chain blade swung in a looping arc for his neck, but he stepped to meet the blow with his sword raised in a classic block. Even as he performed the move, he knew it was a mistake. His opponent luring him into the easy block, just to wrong-foot him. The enemy knight's blade seemed to twist in mid-air, the blade arcing for his unprotected neck. Zahariel threw himself back, the blade passing within a finger-breadth of opening his throat. He crashed onto his rump as the knight stepped in for the kill. Zahariel rolled away from the killing blow, swinging his blade out in a low arc. The edge of his blade sliced clean through the knight's legs at mid-shin level, and the man toppled to his rump as the knight stepped in for the kill. Zahariel rolled away from the killing blow, swinging his blade out in a low arc. The edge of his blade sliced clean through the knight's legs at mid-shin level, and the man toppled like a felled tree. Zahariel rose to his feet as the knight screamed in agony, the stumps of his legs pumping blood into the dust. Zahariel put a pair of bullets through the man's helmet to spare him further agonies, and took a second to reorient himself with the battle. Knights streamed over the breach and pushed out onto the walls, slaughtering all in their path. While protected behind their ramparts, the fact that the Knights of Lupus were few had mattered little, but with the order within the walls of the fortress, numbers meant everything. Everything Zahariel had read of sieges had told him that they were almost always long, drawn-out affairs, battles that moved at a slow pace until a tipping point was reached and the battle ended in one brief and bloody frenzy. This, Zahariel recognized, was the tipping point of this battle. No matter the success or failure of the diversionary attacks, the Order's forces had broken open the fortress, and nothing could stop them from achieving victory. The Knights of Lupus, however, had clearly not read the same military manuals, and were determined to fight to the last and prolong their death agonies.
"Zahariel!"
shouted a voice from below, and he looked through the smoke to see Sar Luther within the fortress's courtyard, beckoning him onwards.
"If you're quite finished!"
Zahariel set off once more, crossing the threshold of the breach and making his way down the inner face of the breach in short jumps down the screed of rubble. Knights were massing, and with the wall head clear, it was time to sweep through the fortress and eliminate the last of the defenders.
"Form into sword lines. We're going to move through the inner gates towards the keep," ordered Luther. "It's sure to get messy, so stay alert. This is the end for the Knights of Lupus, so they're going to fight like cornered raptors. Keep watching the flanks for an ambush, and keep pushing forward. Now let's go!"
Zahariel found Nemiel in the crush of bodies of the Order's knights, and smiled to see his cousin alive and well.
"You made it," he said.
"First across the breach,"
cried Nemiel.
"Before even Sar Luther. I'll get my own banner for this."
"Trust you to think of glory,"
said Zahariel, forming up with the survivors of Sar Hadariel's sword line.
"Well, somebody's got to,"
shot back Nemiel.
"Can't all be about duty, can it?"
Only three other knights had survived to make it this far, and Zahariel was thankful that Attias and Eliath had not yet been elevated to knighthood and had been spared the horror of the battle. Sar Hadariel nodded as though in approval when Zahariel and Nemiel formed up with him.
"Good work in staying alive, brothers," said the hoary veteran. "Now, let's get this finished."
The great banner that had climbed the breach finally reached them, its fabric even more damaged in the fighting, yet strangely undiminished, as though the scars earned in its passage across the walls imparted some even greater gravitas to it. Zahariel had never fought beneath a banner, but the idea of fighting with the noble banner of the Order flying overhead gave him a sense of fierce pride that he had not felt before. The banner wasn't just a flag or identifying marker. It was a symbol of everything the Order stood for: courage, honour, nobility, and justice. To bear such a symbol was a great honour, but to fight beneath it was something special, something Zahariel understood was of supreme significance.
"Right," shouted Luther, pointing at the captured outer walls. "Be ready. We go soon."
Zahariel followed Luther's gesture and saw that the Order's siege masters had turned the cannons, which had previously been killing their fellows, upon the inner walls to face the gates of the inner keep. Luther's hand swept down, and the cannons fired in a rippling series of staccato explosions. The rampart was obscured in stinking clouds of smoke, and the air was filled with screaming iron and fire. Fire and smoke erupted from the inner gateways, and huge chunks of rock and timber were hurled skywards.
"Go!" shouted Luther, and the knights of the Order set off once more.
An armoured tide of bodies charged towards the shattered ruin of the inner walls, smoke wreathing the destruction wrought by the captured cannons. More gunfire spat from the inner walls, but it seemed as though the majority of the enemy guns had been mounted on the outer walls, for the fire was sporadic and uncoordinated. Some knights fell, but after the nightmare charge towards and up the breach, Zahariel felt as though this charge was almost easy. The noise was still incredible. Pounding feet, cheering knights, booms of cannon fire and the snap and crack of pistol fire. Rubble crashed and the cries of the wounded mingled, and all Zahariel could hear was one long, continuous roar of battle, a sound he would forever think of as the music of war. Drifting smoke from the smashed walls enveloped them, and once again Zahariel found he was charging in muffled isolation. The sulphurous taste of the gun smoke caught in the back of his mouth, and his eyes streamed acrid tears. Fires burned ahead, and he saw that the gates of the inner wall had been more comprehensively destroyed than he could have imagined. Nothing remained of the timbers, simply a ragged hole in the wall with splintered remains sagging from pulverized iron hinges.
"For the Lion and the Order!"
shouted Luther as he leapt the heaps of rubble that had fallen from the torn edges of the gateway. Zahariel and Nemiel followed, vaulting tumbled debris and burning timber as they charged through the shattered gateways. Beyond the smashed walls, the fortress's inner precincts were so unlike anything he had ever seen before that Zahariel had trouble reconciling what he saw with anything resembling military architecture. Rows upon rows of cages were arranged around the tall, turreted fastness of the inner keep, each one large enough to hold an entire sword-line steeds. A complex series of rails, chains, and gears were laid on the ground of the courtyard, running between the cages towards a raised platform before the gates of the keep. Some of the cages were occupied, most were not, but it was what the cages held that repulsed Zahariel beyond words. Though his vision was blurred with smoke-borne tears, he could see that many of the cages held a multitude of grotesque beasts. Winged reptiles, similar to the one he had first fought. Chimerical monsters of tentacle and claw, howling monstrosities with multiple heads, spines, and frilled crests. A menagerie of beasts filled the courtyard, each one a unique specimen of its kind, kept alive for who knew what reason. The beasts thrashed at the bars of their cages, screaming, howling, roaring, and bellowing at the noise of battle. Perhaps 100 or so warriors in grey armour, wearing the familiar wolf-pelt cloaks of the Knights of Lupus, stood in a long battle line before the walls of the keep, swords and pistols bared. Lord Sartana stood upon the raised platform at the centre of the battle line, his helmet carried by a knight beside him. The charge of the Order's knights slowed at the sight of such a collection of beasts, horrified beyond words that anyone, let alone an order of knights, would dare or desire to keep such a monstrous collection of abominable creatures. Lord Sartana spoke, and it seemed to Zahariel that the sounds of battle diminished, though whether it was the drama of the moment or that the overall level of noise was lowering, he wasn't sure.
"Warriors of the Order," said Sartana, "these are our lands and this is our fortress. You are not welcome here. You were never welcome here. What might once have preserved our world is at an end.
The master of the Knights of Lupus reached for a long iron lever attached to a complex series of gears and counterweights that ran through the floor of the platform and connected with the rails and chains that ran throughout the courtyard.
For that, you will die,
finished Sartana, hauling on the lever. Even before the lever had completed its journey, Zahariel knew what would happen. With a squeal of metal, gears meshed, slave levers slid from locks, and the gates to the beast's cages opened. Free at last, the beasts roared from their imprisonment with furious bellows of rage, their varied limbs powering them into the open with prodigious strength. Who could know how long they had been caged, but whether that had any bearing on their ferocity would forever be unknown. Zahariel found himself in a life-or-death struggle with a monstrous bear-like creature with a thick coat of spines and a head of wicked horns and snapping jaws. Nemiel fought beside him, along with the remnants of Sar Hadariel's sword line. A dozen more beasts slammed into the Knights of the Order, tossing bodies into the air with the horror of their charge. The courtyard echoed to the sounds of battle, but this was no battle of honour, fought with blades and pistols in a manner deemed appropriate by centuries of tradition and custom. This was brutal, bloody, and desperate combat, fought for no noble ideal, but simply for survival. Though the beasts were greatly outnumbered, they cared not for the fact that they would eventually be destroyed. The chance had come to strike back at humans, and whether they were the ones that had imprisoned them mattered not at all. The bear creature roared and slammed one massive fist into Sar Hadariel's breastplate, sending him flying through the air, his armour torn from his body like paper. Nemiel darted in and slashed his sword across the beast's midsection, no doubt hoping for an eviscerating stroke. The beast's spines robbed the blow of its strength, and his cousin's sword did little but cut through a number of them. Pistol bullets dug wet craters in its chest, but like all the beasts Zahariel had fought, it appeared to care little for pain. Zahariel edged around the beast's flank as it turned its piggy eyes on Nemiel. It swiped with another massive paw, but his cousin was quicker than Sar Hadariel and rolled beneath the blow, firing his pistol as he went. Zahariel leapt forward and swung his sword two-handed at the back of the beast's legs, making his best guess at where its hamstrings might be. His sword easily parted the beast's armoured spines and sliced deep into the meat of its leg. The monster howled and dropped to one knee, black blood jetting from the wound on the back of its leg. It threw back its head and howled in pain, waving its powerfully muscled arms as it fought for balance.
"Now!"
shouted Zahariel, dodging further around the beast and stabbing his sword into its ribs. His sword sank hilt deep into the monster, and as it shuddered in pain, the weapon was torn from his hand. Its talons slashed for him, catching him a glancing blow and hurling him back against the bars of its cage. Pistols boomed and swords cut the beast. Slowly but surely, Zahariel's brothers were winning the fight with the monster. Its leg, cut and useless, the knights could easily keep out of reach of the beast, evading its blows and firing shot after shot into its body and head. Its roars grew feeble, and at last it pitched forward with a final roar, great gouts of blood erupting from its fanged maw. Zahariel moved away from the cage and took stock of the battles raging around the courtyard. Dozens of knights were down, torn apart or bludgeoned to death by the beasts, half a dozen of which still fought. The sounds of battle echoed from the walls, and Zahariel could hear triumphant war shouts of the Order coming from all around him, drifting from all the compass points, telling him that the battle was won. Whether the assault on the south wall had been the main thrust or not, it seemed as though the attacks on every face of the fortress had been successful. Zahariel ran to retrieve his sword from the beast he and his fellow sword brothers had slain, the blade buried deep in its chest. He braced his foot against the beast's flank and slowly slid the sword from its prison of flesh.
"That was a tough one, eh, cousin?" said Nemiel, planting his foot on the beast's body.
"Indeed," replied Zahariel, wiping the blade on the creature's rough fur.
"Why do you suppose they were keeping them here?"
"I have no idea," said Zahariel, "though it explains why they didn't want us to move into the North Wilds."
"How so?"
"This fortress would have been a staging post for any warriors venturing into the deep woods," said Zahariel. "They couldn't very well have let other knights in and kept these beasts here."
"You think that's why Lord Sartana wanted nothing to do with Lord Johnson's quest to destroy the great beasts?"
"Probably, though I can't imagine why you'd ever want to keep beasts.
No, nor I, said Nemiel. But come on, there's more to kill before we can move on.
Zahariel nodded and turned back to the battles being fought around them.